9.3 on the two platforms. Now you'll be able to join us. Let's start with the Vanguard newspaper, page 8 of the Vanguard. Buhari's order, Akpabio, Onu, Wajuba resign.
Yeah, I'm highly unimpressed, but better late than never. All this could have been avoided if the proper thing was done at the proper time. Anyway, the president has now issued the order he should have issued maybe even closer, about 2 months ago, giving notice to say, look, by the time you're picking up forms of interest, you must be ready to resign. That's the way I think it should have been done. But then maybe he expected his ministers and his appointees to behave like adults who understand these things. And only one person has done what I will call, of all these appointees, has done the proper thing. And that's the Minister of State for Education, who resigned according to the whatever. Remember that one or two of them have gone to court and so on and so forth. Anyway, so we have Akpabio. I felt sorry for him. Yesterday were conflicting news reports, about him, but we now have it confirmed that he has resigned. Onu has resigned. The embarrassing one is the Minister of Labour. Is that right? Ngige.
Ngige, yes.
Yes.
Labour and Employment.
And it is said here, let me read the story. Reacting to the President's order, the Minister of Labour and Employment, Senator Chris Ngige, said he was not in a hurry to resign from his appointment, as he had to consult with the president and his constituents before tendering any resignation letter. The president should fire him by this morning or by the deadline. I mean, are you saying a medical doctor, 60 plus, cabinet member, former state governor, doesn't understand this simple memo, and then your constituents have no say in this because your constituents had no say in your appointment in the very first instance? So I think he's playing for time, and I hope he's not indulged. If by Monday he hasn't resigned, then he should be shown the way out, because he has already bought the form. He's bought the form for. But then the question you then ask is, why does he say he needs clarification? You know, there's always a flip side to these things. Was he prompted to buy that form by interests that are in government? So, is he going to say that, look, I was sitting down quietly on my own, you guys told me to go buy a form and express my interest, I didn't know I'd have to resign? Did anybody give him assurances that if you play, quote unquote, this prank, okay, if you play this prank, you don't worry, nothing is going to happen to you? That's the flip side to it. But I expect us all to behave like adults and responsible people. It has been very clear. You should understand the laws. Once you indicate formal interest in vying for a political office, as a political appointee, you have to. It's been like this. It's not just new. And if you look at the state governments have been very proactive in that. I think Oyo State, for example, if I remember well, even Lagos State had said that, look, if you want to, the law, you don't even need to be reminded.
Yeah.
You should do what the education minister did. Be honorable about these things. But whatever it is, this is the test for the government. If he doesn't understand the memo, he doesn't need to see the president. He can go to the secretary of the government and they will read every line to him and what it states there. And you see, this is part of the problem that we have, where we believe that laws are made for certain persons and not for. If the law states clearly, no matter the assurances you are given, you should know that you need to follow what the law says. Anyway, so these gentlemen are gone. More will resign. Some might go for governorship and other things, Senate and whatever. And don't forget, it's across the board. But it has been handled in the most messy of manners that could jolly well have been avoided. But better late than never.
Indeed. Now, we're going to drop the punch. That's the Vanguard. Let's go to the punch. This story is on page 9. It's wicked owing us pensions, protesting civil war veterans lament.
You see, part of the problems we have in the civil service across the board is this idea of not paying people their gratuity and pensions as and when due. The bigger problem, though, is that the pension is usually nothing to write home about. Usually nothing to write home about. I've heard a few people, their positions they had, director level, and what their pensions are, and I've almost wept. If we know that we want to tackle this issue of corruption, if we know that we want to tackle this issue of getting people committed to their job and country, then we must meet them at a very basic level. Salaries must be paid on time. Gratuities must be seen to be paid on time. And it must be something that you can live by. It must be something, I don't think I need to stress the effect of this. Now, this is even now worse because these are Civil War veterans. You remember I had old soldier, my very good friend, and two others. Yeah. I had them here about a year ago. They've been inundating me with calls since a year ago now that they still have not been paid. And these people fought during the Civil War. I was crying quietly here when I was hearing their stories, saying, for example, sometimes for 1 month they can't even as much as take off their shoes. People put their lives on the their lives on the line, and yet at the end of it, you can't even say a proper thank you to them. I think it's very unfortunate. That's why our security issues continue to linger. You know, because now you're having people joining these forces for the wrong reason. A lot of people joining our security forces in various whatever, they're doing so because of the power that they think is behind it so that they can make a fortune for themselves before old age sets in. And it's rather unfortunate. These are 200 ex-military men who fought on the side of the Nigerian government during the Nigerian Biafran War. You're talking of 67 to 71. Come on, Nigeria. 67 to 71. I saw a news item about 3-4 months ago about some football team that were promised houses in whether it was 1990, whatever it is, and were just being given now.
94. Say,
why do we do these things? Why do we? Is this supposed to be a moral booster to our soldiers who are fighting in Maiduguri, putting their lives on the line, fighting in the northeast, fighting everywhere? Is this supposed to be a moral booster for them? So you now get a clear picture. For example, when a policeman begins to harass you, he's not well paid, he doesn't have a pension to look forward to, the health facilities, should he get injured on the job, are virtually non-existent in reality. It is sad. It is also sad, I'd like to be corrected, it is also sad that it appears as if most of these complaints come from the lower ranks. Because our generals look well taken care of. I'd like to be corrected on that. And I think it is rather unfortunate. Day in, day out in newspapers, you see this even during Jonathan's government, they almost brought Abuja down. Yet nobody has found it within government a worthy case to look into. We'd like to appeal to the government. Please, pay these people. Civil War veteran. 67 to 71. Come on. I'd like you to say something.
It's quite unfortunate. I mean, there's nothing to add to it anymore.
Whatever it is, I'd like you to lend your voice to this because all of us now have to. Our country is going to the dogs, Sharif.
So, you know, while you were.
It's going to the dogs.
While you were speaking, what crossed my mind was the fact that every year.
Yes.
You see government officials say they are going to lay a wreath to commemorate Armed Forces Remembrance Day, the unknown soldier. The ones that are leaving, you have abandoned them. And I seem to want to term that as hypocrisy because you enjoy this photograph and photo ops to say you're going to do Armed Forces Remembrance Day. But we have ex-servicemen who had sacrificed, still sacrificing, because some of them, their life never really remained the same again.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And we have just abandoned them. It's very, very, very unfortunate. There's nothing more I can add to that. I mean, it's quite sad.
I'm sure I can find the tape of the interview that I had with those soldiers. I think I'd like to play it again for people to hear, to get an idea of what these people go through. What I heard on that day, you can't take off your clothes, your shoes, your socks, whatever, sometimes a month, 2 months. You know, and you go all this for the sake of your country, what do you get in return?
I think, to add to it, I think there's a lot of insensitivity going around, because I think there are some jobs that when you do them and you retire from those jobs, there are some, naturally, there should be some benefits that you should get. Like, naturally, apart from your statutory pension, gratuity, all of those things, there are some, you know, public service that should be, you should have access to.
If I put my life on the line, yeah, as a soldier for my country, shouldn't the country be ready to pick up my medical bills for the rest of my life?
Do you understand?
What if I got wounded, I got whatever it is, shouldn't I have a card that allows me to go to general hospital or
anywhere you are?
Hospital,
and access care.
And access care. What does my country... let's talk about soldiers only. Because in some other jobs, it's just as risky. Our own job, for example, is just as risky as that of a soldier.
You can say that again.
I've just gotten to the point now, I don't look over my shoulder again. But once in a while, I get a feeling that somebody could take a pot shot at me in this job that we do. It's highly risky.
Yeah.
We might joke about it.
Very.
It's highly risky. So there are people who do other jobs, even within the civil service.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying? How do we pay them back? That is why there is a big scramble. If you go to the civil service now, it's like a business center. Everybody's
because they've seen their future.
You don't have any steady mortgage, nothing. I'm not even sure if they have car loan or all these things anymore. The attraction to the civil service in the past that I grew up into was attraction of things like quarters, car loan every 4 years. Yeah. My parents were civil service with quarters. 80% of those living in Ikoyi back in the day were civil servants. It was the whole government houses. Okay, so you can't do that now. Agreed. But hey, you must be ingenious. You must be able to find something. And when I hear even governors, including the ones that now want to be president, you can't pay the pensioners in your state. You want us to give you the mantle so that you can dabaru the whole federal service. Simple thing like paying, because if you are committed, you will pay. If you have a sense of commitment and compassion to those who have run this country before you are now in a position to sit there as governor, you will find the money. After all, you know, it's not good to think in Yoruba. What is it about that letter, Patricia? But after all, if we look at it critically, and if we want to talk like adults, going by the stories we hear outside, the money that is taken out of the out of government purse is almost 2-3 times more than what you pay your pensioners. The money that goes out of government purse into personal hands. What kind of wickedness is this? Second base.
Let me take some comment on YouTube. Olurunke Da Silva says it cuts across the board. Both junior and senior personnel, the generals who are well taken care of, are those who have their hands soiled. Do we not remember the case of Colonel Adekunle Benjamin? Nigeria is a joke. A corporal in the army is paid 55,000 naira in this time. How are they meant to survive? It's quite sad, really. Let's move on to page 18 of the Vanguard. Jamborees galore, ASUU abandoned.
Yeah, this is a beautiful editorial by the Vanguard on the current ASUU strike. And the Vanguard says, shockingly, ministers who should be engaged in finding a lasting solution to the ASUU and other tertiary education union strike have abandoned their cause of duty to venture into the pursuit of their presidential ambitions. And they say that the failure to address the ASUU strike while keeping our children redundant at home aggravates the sense of utter disrespect for the feelings of the public. Why did President Muhammadu Buhari wait until yesterday before asking them to resign from his cabinet in order to pursue their political ambitions? In most serious countries, failure to perform leads to voluntary resignation or sack. So now they also now talk about this jamboree that we had of vice chancellor's wives attending some conference somewhere. And it says the Vanguard talks about a memo that asked the wives of vice chancellors to pay $1.5 million for course form to attend what was described as a 5-day capacity building course in Istanbul, Turkey. I assume that these monies will be paid by the university. This would also probably be minus flights and accommodation. And Oga's wife cannot travel economy, probably go business class. It's irresponsible. What business has the university got with the vice chancellor's wife? It's irresponsible. And the Vanguard says, if spouses of it says vice chancellors are now mimicking politicians who have created rules of vanity for their unelected spouses at public expense. When I was in university, I never saw Mrs. Adadebo.
Exactly. Like
I never saw Mrs. Ajayi. Yeah, she had no front on at all. Even at convocation, I never saw the VC's wife. But everybody wants to be a first lady. We are so vain. We've grown so vain. You know? So, and the Vanguard argues that its spouses of spouses, not spices, spouses of vice chancellors must be upgraded to effectively play their spousal roles. Must it even be done abroad? They're sending them all the way to Turkey. And don't forget, Turkey is a very good destination to buy clothes to come back and sell.
Yeah, clothing materials.
Clothing materials. Omonkwe.
Mujasigo.
Mujasigo. That's why I like it.
Mujasigo.
We're just a cultural racket.
No, but that it's very weird. Like, it's extremely unfortunate.
Vice Chancellor's wives to go to, of course, in Turkey. When the resource persons can be brought here, even at that, it's a complete waste of resources. Complete waste of resources.
Yeah, Nigeria. Welcome.
And at the moment universities started having PTA and all these things, I just knew that we've lost it.
We're going to take this one from Vanguard page 22. There's this column here, Woman's Own. This story here, write-up rather, says Nigerian politics about intrigues, horse trading. Modele Sharafa Yusuf.
Yeah, Modele Sharafa Yusuf is running for governor of Ogun. And I'm thrilled that we have a woman who is out there in the forefront. I'd like to recommend that you find time to read her interview. Okay, because like I said, we need to encourage. I would love to see one of the states run by a woman. Maybe things would be much better. Who knows? But to be honest with you, a lot of the governors that we have are what I would call political rascals. You know, the kind of things that emerge about them in the first instance is very embarrassing. But being that, as I said, that's what we have and that's what we have. But we have a light in the dark. And this is a Modele Sharafa issue, which is well known to most of us here for over 20, 25 years. And this is what she says, for example, that I found quite interesting. She's asked a question. There's an adage that says that power is not served a la carte. Do you think this adage is affecting the involvement of women in governance in both appointive and elective positions? And Modele Sharafa Yusuf says, power is definitely not given. It is taken. Power is definitely not given. It is taken. Many men feel power is something that belongs to them, and a woman seeking power to do good can be seen as wanting to take what they believe is theirs. They will therefore try to bully and intimidate you, and so on and so forth. Remember, women, especially in Ogun State, were very powerful. If you don't know, check your history books and see what Mrs. Ransom Kuti did in her own time. Is this another Bere coming up? It's interesting. And also, by the same token, the governor himself has declared he wants to be re-elected. They're both of the same party. And it's the story here says that Dakwa Abiodun yesterday submitted his nomination and expression of interest forms for his second re-election. And so he is going to be a very big fight between him and the Modele Sharafa Yusuf might pull, she might pull a rabbit out of the hat. More so as it appears as if there's so much emphasis on what the governor had done in the past that he's still reluctant to admit to fully. My advice to him, admit to these things, tender a public apology if you are covered legally, and let's move on. Don't leave these things hanging. Don't leave them. It's a mistake that people in public office always, and then start throwing darts at those. They say some misguided use, but the facts seem to be there. Address the facts. If it is true, admit it. The any society allows people to be reformed. Okay, so admit it, tender an apology, so that you put it behind you very quickly, and you move on, and people will then judge your re-election based on what you have done in the last 4 years. So if you've done well, you have an advantage. If you haven't, you've given an advantage to someone else. I wish them luck, but we're going to keep our eyes on Modile.
So we're going to take this story from the Punch newspaper now. Pilgrims board to refund Hajj fares.
This is what it is. The Pilgrims board had set certain prices for Hajj, but you can see what inflation has done with the prices and so on and so forth. And so the pilgrims started complaining heavily, and now the government has to refund the money. My take on this in the past 4 to 5 years is that the private sector has perfected Hajj operations. It's been perfected. I'm told, I haven't gone, but I'm told it's been perfected. It is time the government hands off this exercise, because it's a private initiative of the individual. Take your hands off pilgrimages. Take your hands off. You see, government too must make its choice as to what it's going to get involved in, so that they can concentrate on other things. Going to either Jerusalem or going to Mecca or whatever is the initiative of the private individual. And like I said, the private sector, I hear there are a lot of private operators now.
Oh, there are too many.
Too many of them. And they've perfected it. I hear that what most of them offer is seamless.
And they are even more effective than the government.
Than the government, because the government is riddled with corrupt practices.
It's free money.
Corrupt practices. So I'm going to call on governments, all our governments and so on and so forth, Lagos, Ogun, Oyo, whatever. Take your hands off this. Stop spending money on Nigeria. Because what happens eventually is that for as long as government handles it, they will have to send officials, they will have to send do this and do that. I don't think that is right. I don't think it's right. Take your hands off. And besides, these things are not compulsory.
They are not compulsory.
What is compulsory that you have refused to face is things like education, health. These are compulsory things. Take your hands off pilgrimages. Stop doing these things to please voters.
I mean, how many voters? How many?
Well,
just a handful of privileged few.
But that is the politics we practice here. For example, instead of providing free education across
waste
the board,
money unnecessary.
Instead of providing, you go and steal some money, and then you say you are doing initiative. You are doing empowerment and all these things. Instead of you to provide things across the board, free education, the technical schools and so on and so forth, you don't do that. Then you whack the money and start dangling. You turn people you turn our citizens into those participating in raffle. If you are lucky, you get a sewing machine. Then you go for the next rally. You go for the next campaign. We need to stop this. And a lot of the people, I still say this with good authority, a lot of the of our current day politicians went through the Awolowo system of governance. We provided for the generality. I didn't play Russian roulette or gambling with people's lives.
It's really unfortunate. I mean, I was going to add this to it, right? So quite a number of people seem to even think that it's public servants that benefit from it. Even private servants, private people too, they benefit.
Yes.
Because they share. There's a way they share these things. It's not about civil servants alone. They share it to even, some people. They give it to people. And that's why the people that are supposed to complain about this, really, really campaign against this, that's why they've been quiet, largely quiet.
Let me quickly add that it's not Hajj alone. Even with the Christians pilgrimage.
Mm-hmm. It's the same.
Even with the Christians pilgrimage. I heard one of your listeners calling in this morning that we always talk about tradition.
Yes, yes.
Worship. So now you can see. A, we talk about what is in the papers, and B, our people need to be level-headed. What is the business of government, whether a man goes to Mecca or Jerusalem or not?
Absolutely no connection.
No connection.
Nothing.
It is used, it is always dangled. Pastor Kiriko is also going in the governor's delegation.
Imam too, because he wants to go to Hajj, he will now not say what is right again.
Yes. I don't know why we do these things. In the papers yesterday, these people, we heard the governor was going to submit his form. A traditional ruler followed him.
Let me add this to it.
Oh my God.
Politicians across states now, states, not just in Lagos alone.
Yes.
They have so ridiculed public office that they now even give these slots to journalists.
Yes.
Reporters.
No, the media is also complicit in this nonsense. A governorship aspirant who should just go with his chief of staff, or in fact, he can even send his chief of staff, that goes with traditional rulers, who is supposed to be neutral in his community. That's how far down we have gone. But that's a story for another day. Hmm. When we get to that bridge,
we'll cross it though, if we're ever going to get to the bridge. But we have to go now. We must go now. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, we will take the news now. After the news, we'll talk Health Thursday. We want to look at childhood eye diseases, those things that you notice in your child but you're not paying too much attention to, but they're real. Stay here.
They don't disconnect your line sick of say you not link your national identification number to your MTN number. Make you no worry. If you don't already collect your NIN, it gets some 5 easy steps so you go take reconnect them. 1. Dial *785#. 2. Text your national identification number NIN to 785. 3. Visit my MTN NG app.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk. 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than